You're listening to Life Jacket, your literary buoyancy aid by Artful Scribe. I'm your host, Antosh Wojcik. This episode contains strong language. Episode 6, Their Crude Materials. How is our life jacket holding up? From what crude materials did I compose its sleeveless visage? Through life's shrapnel and stray pebbles, brackish currents and brutal rapids, it's seen better days. It is a crude yet crafted thing, the shape and concept simple, to float, to stay buoyant, yet there is complexity in the craft. Millennia of refining buoyant material and finding the perfect stitching to take its form. The poem is such a thing too, both a crude yet crafted thing. The poem is a composite to those simple stray truths and experiences, yet honed and crafted into a structure either recognisable, like a jacket, or disparate. The poems that stick with me strafe this line between honouring their crude material, saying it's straight, sharp, yet exhibit just enough or extensive work that has been carried out to bring this material onto the page. Each poem's process and relationship to time is different too. That crude material just about dictates the measures of honing what the poem needs for the poet. Do I need form? Do I need to reach for other processes to get the slant at the material? The poet can end up composing so many versions of the poem, and how much time this takes can outpace such a thing as bringing a life jacket into being. At least with a life jacket, its criteria is simple, and its success or failure much more cleanly defined. Today's poems come to you by the way of Jane Ead, The Village Boy, Sid Meets, and Jay Pyright. Each poem is an elevation of crude material and compressed innovations in poetic craft, and they each stick with me for their honouring and honing.
Stylized painting, a screen print maybe, of a toucan in the back of a cafe. Before ink and rude tincture, before the crudest dyes and water bled out reality into kitsch portraiture, only explorers would draw us. Indescribable we were in their moors, stuffed with mouthfuls of novel newness. They quickly adored us. Exotic is a relative tune to which you may think yourself immune, but if I burst keratin castanets through this canvas curtain, I would so impress. I would scatter blooms that if you've ever even seen were only ever through a screen. I would shuck these impossible petals to reveal feathers that shimmer with iridescence. They would brush your blushed and humble skin, and locals would notice and scramble on in. I would be smaller than you think. I would be louder than you think, and you would wish that I could talk so you could offer to buy me a drink. You would think me a hoax. My coat thick like baleen, legs and feet reptile rendered, jaws like two broad canoes, and you would remember, and I would be more to you than ambience in a cafe in December.
Jane Ead, Before. The crude painting, oh, how you trigger the writer. From the poem's celebratory and elevated lyric, that toucan is impressed on my being. I too have now visited this December cafe through the punchy play of Jane Ead's poem, Before. I like this notion of the undescribable we, the poem speaking to the limits of language, yet pressing on to render and forge the toucan that inspired it. It's in this poem that Ead confronts the flattening of reality to its crude material in portraiture, whilst using verse to broaden our understanding and implications of depicting such a bird.
Sit back, breathe, and focus on the sound of my voice. I want you to confront you, to focus on your feelings and explore them, learn them, know them, in raging, 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 raging. I think I'm finally out of rage, that my soul has walked this road and disapproved and walked straight back. And it's not that I wasn't valid, that my rage was not righteous and fearful, because she was. Her ferocity was of Ares, and like Zeus throwing Cronus to Tartarus death, she was justified, but my rage burns through everything. My rage lights my chest on fire and fills my chest till it concaves. She stomps till her foot's bloody and broken, or the ground has taken its beating for bearing witness of all the actions that cause this pain and doing nothing to stop it. My rage is an avenger, a protector come on winged horse to save me from all the times I was foolish enough to let people know me while I got nothing but fuel for my rage in return. My rage protected me because my patience was abused and my silence was mistaken for weakness. My rage is a companion. She sounds rhythmic tones down my chest to remind me of danger, like a spider sense thrumming chords of sadness into my quiet moments. But my rage burns through everything. And now my laughter no longer resonates true, because my rage exists just one smile away from tearing from its cage. And there's not enough oxygen to keep us both going. Raging, 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 raging. Fire consumes wood.
The Village Boy, Rage. The Village Boy's rage begins with a command, a first act of drawing us into the poem's message, and then the crude exacting of what characterizes the rage, drawing on elements and intertextual references. It's a fraught and tense piece, arresting this notion of rage existing almost as a separate entity or ego one must reckon with to move through it. The envoy, this concrete functional statement, fire consumes wood, anchors the whole exploration as if the poet has extricated themselves through this ritual writing and given the raw, crude rage of the poem to the air, to us.
This is an ekphrastic poem inspired by three different artworks. The first being the Tom Waits song The Piano Has Been Drinking. The second being Marcel Duchamp's Fountain. And the third one being Hieronymus Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights. This is called The Piano Has Been Drinking at the Fountain in the Garden of Earthly Delights. The piano has been drinking. It staggers through its nightmare from the left side of the triptych where the duckhead man is reading to the music of the buttocks played by instruments of torture. And it frolics in the garden, riding unicorns and donkeys, feeding strawberries and cherries to the bathers in the lake. And the rivers are all freezing on the far side of the water, and the cities are on fire, and the water is a bloodbath, and the rabbit bears a stretcher, and the piano has been drinking in the stomach of the tree man, and the giant birdhead monster makes a feast of all the corpses, and the demons need urinals in the shape of Duchamp's fountain. The piano has been dancing its four-legged wooden waltz. And you can't find your artwork at Grand Central Palace, and it hates you and the gallery, and you can't find the toilet, and the porcelain's an artwork, and Armut has signed his name, and the newspapers are scathing, and the critics have retired. The piano has been drinking, it's a sculpture ready-made. The urinal has been drinking, not me, not me. Not me, not me, not me.
Sid Meets. The poem has been drinking at the fountain in the Garden of Earthly Delights. Sid Meets takes three existing artworks as the crude material and crafts delightful, leaping, irreverent verse. The poem sounds as though we are shot through the ages of contemporary art, explosive and riotous with its explorations of image and subsequent undercutting of those images. There's a sense of consumption to the poem, not only in the named drinking, but a commentary on how image, art, concept is consumed, by the by, not necessarily understood. And this is a palpable, underlying human message that rewards on multiple listens. the anaphoric and ties us through the verse. It's our anchor. And though the poem could stray into overt repetition, it constructs a tightness and threads the music of the poem neatly through the explosive verse. We trickle through as the piano drinks, as the poet is drunk, as the art drinks from art.
This is how I made the world. Supernovae in a blender, edges effortlessly blurred, dust in intricate surrender. Double helix and justice scales, lichen, nautilus, barbed wire, wind that swells in howling sails as their captain dreams of fire. Breaking waves, unbroken tides, serpents swallowing their tails with a dear and dreadful pride, coiled, crowning thorns, death-pale dawns, their lunar pawns advancing with an outside-inside curl. Through the foliage it dances. This is how I made the world. Blades of grass, backs arced in wonder, fierce with rains, holy perversion, willing tongues to put it under, seashells sounding in recursion, desolation doubled up, streaked and sober with a song that's come undone. Cold distortion, thrilled and livid, dissident and orphaned pearls, every color weird and vivid as its cosmic chaos whirls, crucifixion and illusion, tortured orgasms deserved, sunset smeared into confusion. This is how I made the world. Weeping wounds and whispered psalms, asphalt, steam, and benediction, halcyon and on, blossoming into addiction, charm and friction in the heart, thick with salt and lust and grime, meat and benzene and pure art twisting into honeyed rhyme, and the end of time approaches, leeches tearing into skin, gossamer and out of focus, spider silk that yawns and spins, fractal lungs diluting devils with the human tones of birds. Watch the comets thrill and revel. This is how I made the world. Every forest ripe with games, midnight names and lucid reason, drowned in a devoted flame, bending with the fleeting season. Their delirium galvanic elements combine and rise, the grand motherboard organic in her orchestrated eyes. Curious and curious, lizard limbs and torn desire, writhing loved and furious, circling a ceaseless pyre. Glass that bubbles at the touch, walls that crumble at the word. Everything and all too much. This is how I made the world. This is how I made the world. Poetry that never yields. Tears revealed, the needle stirred, rippled through a yellow field. Mathematics, contemplation, sand, stigmata, source, the sea. Tears, catharsis, adoration, angels lost on LSD. Sounds of switchblades, neon silence. Cyber veins ringed sevenfold. Beautiful cascades of violence tapered into molten gold. Force and power, strange and freeing. Truth that favors the absurd. All my love born into being. This is how I made the world.
Jay Pyrite, this is how I made the world. The poem calls on poets to write poetry that never yields, as it exacts and forges new language for the world we inevitably make. Without harking too much back to Ginsberg, it's hard to not frame this poem as J. Pyrite's howl. Was there ever a more compelling declarative chorus line to howl than, "This is how I made the world"? I feel reinvention in Pyrite's verse as they blend abstractions into tangible actions and elastic rhyme schemes that launch the listener through the sensory central barrage. Bright chaos, discursive torrents, this poem unleashes a current my life jacket will surely handle, but I no doubt will feel each and every bump and twist. I've not often thought about how I'd make the world from scratch, at least. But J. Pyrite's poem certainly gives me the urge to seize language and get remaking with these crude neon materials and psychochemical paraphernalia. Take the life jacket from your shoulders as you wade from the water. Take stock of where these voices have carried you. Note what material you might add to your trusty floating sidekick. Heard poems from Jane Ead, The Village Boy, Sid Meets, and Jay Pyrite. Jane is a civil servant living in Southampton. They write poems drawn from natural, social, and emotional observations, often inspired by animal behaviour and the everyday creatures overlooked by humans. They particularly enjoy exploring how the ordinary can reveal the extraordinary. Based in Hampshire, the Village Boy is a spoken word poet of British and Sierra Leonean heritage. His poetry explores themes of love, anger, and longing, employing central tenets of humanism and existentialism to resonate with a diverse audience. His performances have graced venues such as the Barbican Centre and Victorious Festival, as well as more intimate settings including universities, weddings, pubs, and open mic nights. His work is available on Spotify and other audio platforms. Sid Meats is a singer-songwriter and poet. His songs have been broadcast on BBC Radio 4, but his poems haven't. He has performed at events and festivals around the UK and was a 2019 Hammer and Tongue Regional Poetry Slam finalist. He was shortlisted for Verve's first poem of the month in April 2025 and highly commended in the 2025 Charm Poetry Prize. Jay Pyrite is a non-binary person who's been writing poems for over half their life. Their work focuses on themes of trauma and recovery, specifically the mythologization of lived experiences. They have a self-published book called The Lizard's Dance, but also a visual artist and photographer. Jay is based in Southampton and can be found at many local open mic nights. Life Jacket is produced by Artful Scribe, a not-for-profit writer development agency based in Southampton, supporting emerging and continuing writers in Hampshire, Dorset, and the Solent region. Artful Scribe is supported by Arts Council England. I'm your host, Antosh Wojcik. This is Life Jacket. Stay buoyant.